God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is service, the spiritual ability to meet people's physical needs. Just as Christ came not to be served, but to serve, God provides the office of deacon, those who are charged and equipped to care for the physical needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Story time. For two reasons. This is Wretched Radio. Let me take you back in time. The year 1805, the location India, nine men signed a document that is going to sound eerily familiar today if you've ever been involved in missions work. It was called the Serampore Form of Agreement. Go ahead, turn to the person next to you and say nothing, because that's a ridiculous thing for a pastor to do. It's called the Serampore Form of Agreement. These nine men were pioneers in the history of Baptist missions. These individuals studied the subject of missiology, and over 200 years later, what they agreed, what they affirmed were important essential elements of being a missionary, they resonate today because they're pretty much the same things that good mission organizations. I'm not talking about booking the airplane so people can go over and basically spend a lot of time on vacation, take some pictures, and maybe paint a fence and come back. No, missions work. It's done in connection with a local church or with a desire to build a local church. It focuses on education. Why education? What does that have to do with theology? Well, you can't read the Bible if you don't know how to read. They studied the subject and they came up with these agreements, 11 of them, that have driven missions work for over 200 years. And I thought there would be two reasons to spend a little time studying just a few of the agreements that these nine men had as they gave their lives and ultimately died on the mission field. William Carey, one of the signers, along with his son Felix, William Carey had been in missions in India 1793 to 1834. Jimmy, go ahead and do the math on that.
40-something years.
41 years is what that is right there. And he died trying to reach lost people with convictions intact. And you say, well, what's the point of this? I think that these are agreements that are good reminders for you and me today. We might not be going overseas to do mission work, but the field that is right outside of our front door is a mission field. And maybe, just maybe, one of the benefits of hearing this list is to be reminded of perhaps a subject that has lost some zeal for you. These are a few of the agreements. This is Article 1 from 1805. In order to be prepared for our great and solemn work, it is absolutely necessary that we set an infinite value upon immortal souls, that we often endeavor to affect our minds with the dreadful loss sustained by the unconverted soul launched into eternity. If we have not this awful sense of the value of souls, and awful, like inspiring, not awful, terrible, not that. It is impossible without that we can feel aright in any other part of our work. Question: how's your zeal for the lost these days? When was the last time you considered the fate of the ungodly, the weeping and gnashing of teeth that they will experience not after a million years immediately, and after a million years, not a nanosecond will have passed in eternity? William Carey and the eight other men in India realized if they don't have that as a continual burning zeal, then their missions activity is not going to be effective. Question: do you have a burning zeal for the lost, knowing the fate of those who don't repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ? Perhaps today is the day we reignite that zeal. Maybe this is why we haven't been witnessing as much as we once did. Maybe this is why we aren't as fervent in training up our children to love the Lord, that you and I maybe have lost our zeal. From the article written by Seth Porch, who gives Reaching the Lost with William Carey, that's the title of the article, quote, prone to forget that every person we meet has an eternal future, our interactions become less salty. We lose a little of our luster. Article 4.1 from the Serampore Agreement. Oh, may our hearts bleed over these poor idolaters, and may their case lie with continued weight upon our minds. The first reason that I think it's important that we revisit this document is so that you and I can do a little bit of a self-examination and ask, could I sign that agreement? Do I have a burning zeal for the poor idolaters? Second reason I think it was important to visit this document, it gives me an opportunity to play a song. I'll take any chance I can get to play.
As we're playing our songs, while we're singing them well, have we forgotten the lost, the reality of hell? If we say we love God, want to see His will, just the songs we have sung, do we even care?
Your zeal for the lost. Let's continue visiting the Serampore form of agreement, 1805, Article 2. The missionaries express the necessity of gaining as much information as possible about the local customs and religious practices so they could, quote, converse in an intelligible manner. Methinks you and I need to start doing that. Maybe this is a chore you could take. I'll tell you what. If this sort of rings a bell for you, do it and then send it to idea@wretched.org and I'll share it. Gather the information, the lingo that is used by this generation to talk about their struggles, their maladies, their frustrations, their anxieties. Come up with that language and give me the definitions too, because I probably don't know. I'm still trying to figure out the whole gaslighting thing. Although I think I'm, courtesy of the Democratic Party, I'm starting to catch on. What is the language that is used to express how people are feeling these days? Send it to idea@wretched.org. Okay, this is one we're familiar with. I just don't have the bandwidth for that. All right, what does that mean? Actually, to be honest, I think it means that we should ask the person what they're talking about. Does it mean you're just overbooked, you're over busy, you're tired, you need more rest? What is it that is this bandwidth shortage business you're talking about? If we don't know the language people are speaking, we will not be able to put our message into the language they understand. Not that we become a felt needs driven religion. That's a big no-no. But that doesn't mean that people don't have felt needs, and it doesn't mean that Christianity doesn't address those needs. We don't want to turn those needs into the gospel itself, but they are fruits of the Christian gospel. Maybe we could take a page from the Serampore form of agreement and start studying our own culture a little bit. every day I read these words and it's like, oh, okay, that's how they talk about that now these days. William Carey said, we got to know that stuff. They wanted to learn how the locals thought, their habits, their propensities, their antipathies, the way in which they reason about God, sin, holiness, the way of salvation, recognizing that only by such careful interaction would they avoid being barbarians to them. We don't want to sound like foreigners to people. We want to sound like we live in the same century, in the same country. Do we maybe need to spend a little more time studying, especially the Gen Z generation? Why is it? I just read that like 70-some percent of Gen Zs are just stressed out by work. They're just totally stressed out because of their job. Like, I don't know if I can work another day. No, work has always been stressful. Thorns and thistles, that's a promise. If we're going to help them, and if we're going to reach them with the gospel, maybe, just maybe, along with a burning zeal for the lost, we actually need to spend more time walking a mile in Gen Z shoes, which are probably Birkenstocks. This is Wretched Radio.
25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, we're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's Word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening His church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugar coating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism, it's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this. You're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. 1 Timothy contains Paul's instructions to his protege for church leadership. Paul exhorts Timothy to confront and correct false teachers and to preserve sound doctrine through church structure and preaching of the word. The church has a responsibility to preserve and maintain the truth given by God in his word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's go talk about the book we all read.
Books, you know they're dangerous.
Take a look, it's in a book.
So many books, so little time.
That's because the stinger is so long. This is Wretched Radio, as promised. That's right. We are efficient here at Wretched Radio. In fact, I'm going to go this far to state definitively, we are the single most efficient Christian radio program on this station at this time. And I stand by that. John Mark Comer, have you heard the name? If not, you likely will. Somebody will be trying to bring his book called Practicing the Way into your church. I've seen this happen many times before. I remember once attending a really good church, walking out to my car when the service was done, and I looked on the passenger seat of the car parked next to me, not too closely next to me, because I'm one of those guys who always finds an island and hugs it so I don't get door dings because people are so inconsiderate. These days, you want a demonstration that the love of man will grow cold? How's it about door dings? Please, when you open your door in a parking lot, some people, they're trying to protect their investment. They're frugal that way, and they don't want your door dings. So I look into this car, and on the front seat, now this is in a good church, the book was Jesus Calling. And I just went, okay, it's possible that they're just reading it to review it so that they can inform the church. If you think Jesus is calling, hang up, because that's not the way he communicates to us. Bad books make their way into good churches all the time, and Practicing the Way is one of those bad books. And Tim Challies, a fellow here at the Fortas Institute, as he always does, he writes with clarity. There's no questioning where he stands on this book, but he's not rude or condescending. That's my job. You see, that's my contribution to the Fortas Institute. Tim Challies, I think, is going to be doing a video review on this. So this will be a sneak preview into a review on basically a retread. In fact, that's what Tim talks about in his article. If you haven't heard about the book Practicing the Way, he says there's a certain degree of sameness to Christian publishing. And sure enough, I was only a few pages in to Practicing the Way before I thought, hey, I've seen this before. About 20 years ago, many popular authors were discovering or rediscovering the traditions of the mystics and the monastics. Yep. And so they did. They curtailed or dismissed certain aspects of traditional Protestantism in favor of elements largely drawn from Roman Catholicism, the Desert Fathers. And in many ways, this is what Comer has done for a whole new generation of readers. And Tim rightly identifies why this book is massively popular these days, because people recognize something's wrong. Something is missing in my walk. There's got to be more to it than this. And the reason that I found this particular review is because that's actually the book that I'm writing. And the introduction to the book I'm writing, which I'm talking about way too soon because it's not going to be published until next fall, but I think this is such an urgent issue for so many Christians. They feel a disconnect between their faith and the rest of their lives. And that is a malady that has existed since the early church. You can go find the quotes yourself. All of the church fathers talked about, they didn't use the term dualism. That term started to get warmer toward that when it came to the Puritans, but contemporary good theologians talk about the dualistic divide that exists in the life and walk of so many Christians. I go to church and then I live. All right, how do you connect that? And historically, this issue is so big.
How big is it?
Thank you. Wow, Jimmy, you were just, you were right there. Now that you're not watching the Fox News so much, you are just sharp as a tack is what you are. There have been movements that have tried to address this disconnect. And mysticism is one of them where you just, notice it's feelings driven. It's not unlike soaking music and all of the contemporary worship music that just drones on and on. It's to get, I need to feel something. The problem is not that they've identified that Christians want and should have feelings because they're a Christian. But how are those feelings produced? They bypass the cognitive process to get straight to the emotions. But that doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you just take some sort of mystical pill and you've got a Christian buzz all the time. It is a lot of work. And that's exactly what John Mark Comer has to offer. This is his solution to the disconnect problem. Comer is a self-professed mystic and agrees with Carl Rayner, who says, I think he's a Catholic, the Christian of the future will be a mystic or he will not exist at all. Well, then, he doesn't quite define the term other than saying it indicates a disciple of Jesus who wants to experience spiritually what is true of them theologically, but it tends to indicate an expectation of receiving original and unmediated revelation from God. In other words, you're going to quiet your mind, you're going to repeat your mantra, you're going to get still, you're going to do a lot of breathing, deep breathing, and then get ready to try to figure out if that's God speaking to you, because you never really know for sure if it's God or a demon, which is more likely because God's normative way of communicating to his children is through the printed word. We have a more sure word. And that's the most dangerous thing about mysticism. It opens up a spiritual door, and demons are more than happy to walk right through it. Tim writes, it's associated with practices like Lectio Divina, contemplative prayer, meditation, stillness, silence. You could throw in a number of mindfulness? Not mindfulness goes in. Yeah, mindfulness could go in there. Cataphatic prayer could go in there. Practices Comer endorses and regards as essential. And he draws on Roman Catholicism, Greek Orthodoxy, and Quaker backgrounds. The big mystics, using names like Dallas Willard, Richard Foster, Henry Nouwen, Brother Lawrence, probably Desert Fathers, Teresa of Avila. She's probably in there too. It's the mystical camp. And Tim is onto it here. He's on to what's going on here. It is a repackaging of something that Protestants would have eschewed centuries ago, but keeps resurfacing. And this is the noteworthy point. I think, well, there's a couple. Don't get the book. Don't let it into your church. But recognize the dude's onto something. He's trying to scratch an itch. And he's doing it via mysticism. Now, Tim writes, he also adds other elements, a dose of charismatic theology, so words of prophecy, deliverance from demons, speaking in tongues, and something that he calls the rule of life. The rule of life. This is the stuff you got to do to feel the presence of God. And so it's a Benedictine practice. And some of it is actually biblical and right. You should have some devotional habits. That's wise and smart. You should exercise your spiritual muscles more than your physical muscles. But Comer's version of it is notable for what it includes and excludes. It includes mystical and charismatic practices and excludes the evangelistic proclamation of the gospel and explicit direction about feeding the mind or growing an understanding of Christian doctrine. In other words, circumventing the intellect to get to the emotive center via these practices, which are mystical and unbiblical. Furthermore, Tim rightly points out, for which I'm grateful, he biffs it on the gospel. He doesn't know. In fact, he rejects those people out in the streets that say, turn from your sins or you'll go to hell. His gospel is something like Jesus, live for Jesus, so other people can become interested in Jesus. Do you want to know what that's called? A yoke. And I'm not talking about eggs. I'm talking about a heavy burden of legalism. I've got to act like Jesus. I've got to act like Jesus. And people will be interested in Jesus. And it removes the cross. It removes his atoning work and propitiation and the purpose that he came to this planet to die for sinners. So he gets the gospel wrong. He draws heavily, shouldn't be a surprise, on Rob Bell. That should be the end of the critique right there. Practice the presence of God. Pray without words and focus on mindfulness. There it is. It's to practice the way by using the rule of life. in the words of one of his previous books, to ruthlessly eliminate hurry. Now, could I make a biblical argument? We got to be careful about hurry. Yeah. But eliminate hurry? No. Sometimes you got to get on it. You got to get things done. You got to go there fast. You got to get this thing project to the deadline. But I do agree that sometimes we do need to carve out time so that we can communicate with our God. How does that happen? We read his word and we talk to him through prayer. That is his prescription. And then when we recognize that his word says that God is active in every molecule in the universe, then I don't have to create a mystical practice. I don't have to do all of these heavy weightlifting disciplines to always feel the presence of God. I need to recognize God is present in everything. And now that I'll just use the word mindful of that. Now we just walk in light of that truth in Christian liberty. That is practicing the biblical way. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.